There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. And now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, it is a Thursday, as you know. We will be doing our album of the day. We'll continue with that. We'll find out with from Dr. Bensing whether he likes our choice today or not. Because he's usually here on Wednesdays. This is something new to him.
Out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary. Being here on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday, but it just worked out schedule-wise that it'd be better if adjusted his day to Thursday since this is my first day back from vacation. He knows that I'm looking pretty casual today, and
I feel like a good time on vacation.
I'm feeling very mellow and in a good mood. I think I'm a little bit sharper today because I've had that time off.
Good.
There will be people who disagree with that. But what do they know?
We'll see.
What do they know? Yeah,
we'll see.
Well, as a matter of fact, because the subject that we had left off with before I went on vacation was brain atrophy, and let's review something because I started thinking about what you said that only 7% of the possibility of brain atrophy is from DNA, and the other 90% is from
who you marry.
Who you marry. You want to explain that one more time, please?
In fact, at the doctor's lounge today, somebody asked me about this. We're talking about literally 7% of the risk of getting dementia. All right? We're talking about the dementia risk, okay? 7% is due to genetic profile, all right?
Right.
To your DNA, to your genes, all right? 90% is due to who you marry. It makes no sense, right? When you first start listening to it. You say, oh my, how can that be?
Well, now, you go ahead and say what you're going to say, but then I'm going to have a question at the end of this. Go ahead.
Well, here's the bottom line, Terry. Why it makes sense. When you first listen to it, that makes no sense at all right? In fact, in the doctor's lounge the other day, we're talking about this, and that can't be. But when you start to understand what happens, here's the bottom line, Terry. 90% is due to who you marry because here's the issue. Your spouse dictates your lifestyle, especially women. What you eat and all that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What I tell people, I married my wife, 49 years, and she's been stuck with me
through thick and thin.
Through thick and thin, all right? And I married a home ec teacher. And I thought, I tell people I got married on false pretenses because I thought it was going to be a cake and ice cream every day. And instead, I live on this extremely Spartan, healthy diet.
Right.
Which is, I'm glad for it. Don't get me wrong. But I married, who I married dictates, is the highest risk of whether I'm going to dementia or not, because that partner dictates, especially for men marrying women, dictates what diet and lifestyle you have. And we now know diet and lifestyle are the bigger predictor of your risk for dementia than genes. End of discussion.
So it can also work in reverse, too, because if you've got a man who is the one who sets the stage for what's going to be
bad.
Because you see, my mom only served what my dad liked, period. She didn't serve anything else.
That's a mistake.
So when they went out for the dinners and the things like that on the weekends, we got to eat what we really wanted. And I love Van Cam pork and beans with hot dogs in it. And I loved lamb. And so I'd get a lamb chop or something like that.
I like lamb, by the way.
Oh, I love it. I love lamb.
But that's the idea before.
Here's the question, though. Here's the question. What happens if you've been married several times?
I don't know. You're being hard on me.
Which one of them determines whether you got the dementia or not?
I don't know that.
Probably the last one.
It's interesting. This study was this is a peer-reviewed published article. This is with thousands of patients. It's not some little study kind of thing. But your answer, I don't know. You got me.
I told you I was going to give you a tough question.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, but here's where we left off, though. Does dehydration make brain function worse?
Sure. Okay.
Because we were getting into that, and you were explaining a little bit of it. So let's start there.
Okay. First of all, yes, the answer is very true. All right, more than half the first of all, the brain, okay, is essentially the dry weight of the brain is about 60%, and then most of it's fat, by the way. People don't realize that. But the rest of it is water, plain water. All right, people don't realize
that. It has to sit in something.
Yeah, it's floating in a bucket of water, yeah, kind of thing.
Pretty much.
All right, that CSF fluid is floating in. But here's what we now know, all right? About 50% of the population is in a state of dehydration. Here's what the study shows, and this is, to me, just amazing. But it only takes 2 to 2.5% dehydration to change the effect, the blood flow, to the brain and to the amygdala and the hippocampus, which is the center of memory and learning, all right? 2.5%. Terry, that is so easy to do. You drink a soda, all right? The people don't realize, you know, they think, well, I'm dehydrated, I'll have a soda. It's so a soda is literally a hyperphosphoric acid solution you're drinking.
Right.
That's dehydrating you probably about...
It's drawing more fluid out of you.
Drawing more fluid out than you're putting in.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right.
And you can easily have one or two sodas and you can become 2.5% dehydrated just like that. Just from that. That's enough to change your memory issues and the blood flow to amygdala and hippocampus. That's shocking. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is shocking to most people, you know. But we don't think of it that way. So dehydration has and it's only 2.5% dehydration has an effect on the brain, on memory.
Okay, so let's define 2.5% dehydration. Are you talking about body weight going
total
down?
Total body weight.
Total body weight going down by 2%. It'll mostly be water that you'd be losing.
Yes. Most people, more than almost 50%, Terry, of the populations walking around in around a 4 to 7% dehydration state. That's
amazing.
Shocking.
No, it is.
That's shocking.
Now, when you wake up in the morning, usually you're dehydrated because you haven't had anything to drink all night.
Sure, but let me put it to you even. Let's say you go out to dinner.
Okay.
And
where are we going for? No, that's right. Never mind.
Let's say we go to dinner and you have a good meal. All right. And then you get home. You have to have a glass of water. And then let's say you wake up about 3 hours later and you're thirsty. Well, here's the bottom line. You ate a meal with a high salt or osmolar load content, all right? And you're dehydrated from that. And
especially if it's pizza. Most Italian food is just loaded with salt.
Yeah, but seriously, that's what happens, all right? And we don't think of it. The food is great. The high salt content, high osmolar content is great, all right? But we don't think of it. This is potentially dehydrating me because you're pulling out more fluid because of the salt load.
Right.
And it affects function, all right? Oh, my gosh. All right, now I want you to think of it this way, Terry. When does brain repair occur?
At night.
At night?
That's what your dreaming is all about. Is
yeah, part, all right. Part, and what's happening, yeah, you're
delta
going,
wave sleep.
You're going into sleep, dehydrated. You can't repair that amygdala and hippocampus. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right? And people don't think of it that way. All right? But as a major, the studies show that's a major effect.
Okay, now, if you're a male and you have problems because if you drink too much water before you go to bed,
you can't pee.
You're going to wake up in the middle of it, you get up, get pee, and now you're awake the rest of the night.
I don't know if I want to go into that area, but yeah, Terry, we have study after study coming out right now. This is probably the last 6 months. This is a big hot topic. Men, we now know there's studies showing that men with prostate problems that have to get up to pee, it interferes with the wake sleep cycles. We have increased risk of dementia.
So we actually should be drinking more water.
Drinking more water and fixing your prostate issues. All right?
Okay.
Literally. All right? But this is shocking. And this is just the last 6 months these studies are coming out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that prostatism, BPH, and having trouble peeing, getting up many times at night to pee, we have studies showing dementia risk increases. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is crazy. You told me 10 years ago that was so, I'd laugh at you. All right?
Right.
This is fairly new stuff that's coming out. But it starts to put it in a totally different perspective of what's happening. All right?
Mm-hmm. So dehydration, should we talk now about how you avoid getting dehydrated? You want to leave that to the what you should be doing in order to?
We can talk about that. The bottom line is that with dehydration, here's the magic key.
Mm-hmm.
that people get so mistaken by this. It's water. See this water bottle? It's water, nothing else. All right? Because, and I have to be, even the some of the flavored drinks and things like that have a high osmolar load and it can dehydrate you.
Mm-hmm.
Water is what makes the difference.
Got
all right?
It. Got it.
Water is, pure water is what makes the difference.
Okay.
End of discussion.
We come back. Let's talk about the amyloid cascade hypothesis. But let's first, we've got a question about vaccine side effects. Ed, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Terry. I'm sorry to interrupt such a great discussion on hydration. Boy, beautiful, beautiful job Dr. Menzik is doing.
Well, thank you.
This is a question that came up last night when I was at the grocery store. People come up to me and ask me about and I tell Dr. Menzik's formula for keeping safe, et cetera.
Do it.
But I got a question last night that I hadn't run into before that maybe you could address, Dr. Menzik, and that is there was a group of five of them at the grocery store went and got their shot the other day, and one of them had no side effects, two of them had mild arm pain, and the other ones got really, really sick. And the person who asked me for advice last night said, is there anything I can do to ameliorate the effects? And I said, well, that's a good question. Other than multivitamin and maybe some extra B vitamins.
You know, Ed, there is no easy answer for this. Let's put this in perspective, all right? First of all, if you have a vaccine, take a vaccine, all right, especially these COVID and the mRNA vaccines, all mm-hmm. right? If you have no let's take a person that has a side effect.
Okay.
Has no side effect, all right? The issue that a doctor asks, all right, with the no side effect person, is he building an immune response, all right? And certain people, Ed, and this is quite rare, by the way, okay? And we're going to have a program just on this, by the way, probably in about 3 weeks from now.
Great.
On this kind of stuff. But if you have no response to your vaccine, all right, it may be good. But from a doctor's point of view, it may be very bad. Because why?
You should have some sort of effect.
You may have such a bad immune system that you may not be able to mount any response, and you will not get immunity from it. All right. Now, this is rare.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's the first thing people need to know. All right. I'm not against side effects. All right. And that people say, oh my gosh, you know, but that's an indicator to a doctor to look, is this patient have such a low immune system? His immune system is so compromised. He does no T2 immunity. He can't build a response. The vaccine is useless. All mm-hmm. right. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Now, that's quite rare, Ed. Okay. This is not common. All right. But that's what a doctor looks at. Number two, the doctor looks at the side effects, and if you've had side effects, this meaning you're building antibodies, or it's having an effect, all right? So from my point of view, I'm not afraid of that, all right? Now, the next issue that comes is what kind of side effects, all right? Like I had a patient today, Tuesday, that had the mRNA vaccine and ended up with a paralyzed left arm. Oh, my gosh. All right,
yeah.
For 6 hours. In fact, I sent her to the emergency room right away because she needs to be checked to make sure she has a TIA or a stroke mm-hmm. or yeah. Guillain-Barré or one of these other weird things, all right? And hopefully, Lord willing, it's going to be okay.
Check for an autoimmune disease.
Yeah, exactly. But the side effects, it depends on what the range of them and how severe they are, all right, as to what happens. You know, side effects, from my point of view, are not a bad thing. All right. It indicates that you are having a response. It's the vaccine's doing its job. Now the issue is how bad they are and what happens, and that's a totally different area. So the first thing, Ed, is if you have no side effect, is it that the vaccine that your immune system didn't mount a response? All right, that's what the doctor will look at and think of when he hears that. All right, and this is quite rare, Ed. I want to. In fact, we're going to talk about this. I think probably 2 or 3 weeks from now, but. It's quite rare, all right? It's not that common, but that's one of the things that the doctor will look at, all right? Is this person this is why you can take the COVID shot and have no immunity get COVID again.
But also, some people who get COVID have very, very slight symptoms in the first place. And
don't know about it.
and don't even hardly even know that they
especially
they even had.
If your D2 levels are high, you won't even know you got it.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
so I don't know if that answers your question. All right, but it's a complex area. But I, as a physician, I'm not afraid of side effects. In fact, I like to have a little bit of side effects, some kind of reaction to it.
But you don't want somebody suffering Guillain-Barré.
No, not at all.
Which is possible with the messenger RNA.
Oh yes. There's quite a few. The vaccines are two-edged swords. I don't know, maybe that's the best way to say it. I'm not against vaccines, by the way.
The person who came to me last night was the one who had the most severe symptoms, and there were some heavy-duty migraines. Digestive problems and nervous system problems.
Yeah, they need to see their doctor and just be checked.
Yeah. Go back to the person who gave. Did they just get the vaccine from a pharmacy or something?
I don't know. It was five of them. The grocery store company said, you guys got to go get your shot.
They should report it.
And two issues with that. All right, if there's issues, they should talk, especially potentially serious issues.
Yeah.
Or any neurologic issues, they should see their doctor. Okay, I strongly encourage that because there's two issues. Number one, is it a side effect from the vaccine and needs to be reported? All right.
Yeah, I was going to say it needs to be reported.
There's a a reporting site that the doctor will report it. That's the first thing. Number two, is it due to something else? All right, and especially any neurologic potential issues. Yeah. You need to see your doctor
It sounds like there's a causal relationship. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have any symptoms before they got the vaccine, and suddenly they start having some vaccine
That's right. I can be pretty sure it's causal, but I also think that there isn't an easy solution. It isn't like just take some extra vitamins
There is no easy answer to this. All right.
Ed, hey, thanks for the call, Ed. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Take care. We're going to be right back.
KNZR.com. KNZR on Twitter. KNZR on Facebook. And KNZR on your radio. At AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Well, she's fashionably lean. And she's fashionably lame. She'll never rank a scene. She'll never break a day. But she's no drag, just watch the way she walks. She's a 20th
century. That is our album of the day, The Doors. Their first album really didn't have a title, but everybody knows it as the album that has Light My Fire on it because that became their first number one hit. This is The Doors, their first album from 1967. And let's get back to Dr. Menci. You know, since we kind of got off topic there with Ed asking the side effect, what is it that you are counseling your patients as far as the vaccine is concerned?
You really want us to get really off topic, don't you? Well,
why not?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, okay? Upfront. But there are major potential issues, all right? And here's one of the things we recommend to our patients, all right? We offer to our patients. There's something, everybody knows about the COVID test you put up your nose and that tells you if you've got COVID, you don't have COVID right now. All right. But what we offer to our patients and you can get it in the labs, it's about $275 for the test, but it's called IgG, IgM testing. All right. And it's a little blood test. And in fact, it's a finger stick. We offer it to our patients for about $100. But here's what that tells you. All right. If we have a patient that is asking about COVID and that, here's what we do. If they think they've had COVID, all right? If you don't think you have it, don't waste $100, all right?
Right.
But if you think you've had COVID or you've been exposed to COVID, that we do this IgG, IgM testing, all right? I think we charge our patients $100. There's a little finger stick of blood and you put it in, you wait.
I did it live.
Okay. 20 minutes later, I'll tell you. But here's what we can tell our patients. Number one, I can tell you that if you have IgG positive, you've had COVID. You don't need the vaccine. End of discussion. Wait. All right? Let's wait for a while. Let the other people do it. You don't need it. You've got immunity to it.
Right.
And the good thing, all right, is that, in fact, we're going to bring this up Monday on the program. But, in fact, Monday we're going to talk about fear and vaccines and what the issues are. All right? But the bottom line is that I can tell you've had COVID, and we now know that, in fact, it just came out today that it looks like the South African variant, the last variant we had, looks like it is also going to be reactive to the regular COVID immunity, which is good news, essentially. Mm-hmm. What it means is you're immune. Your IgG is positive. You're immune. You don't need to take the vaccine for now. Wait down the road. Let somebody else take it, all right? Let them do it because you're immune, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it may say that you're IgM positive. If you're IgM, you've got COVID now. I'm sorry, you better go home and and do your things, all right? And
for your patients, the first thing you're going to do is put on hydroxychloroquine.
We do an EKGM, put them on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And we tell them to do a bunch of other things, all right? And we've had very good success with that, all right?
Right.
But the hydroxychloroquine has to be started really early, Terry. Really, that's the key. All right. And then we can tell you also, no, you have no immunity, all right? You better do all those things I've told you that we've talked about to lower that risk. And you better consider if it's your time and you want to do the vaccine, better
pray about it a lot. If you're somebody that says, no, I'm going to go to the vaccine, go do it.
All right. Yeah. There are serious potential issues with the vaccine. I don't want to, especially the mRNA vaccines, the Moderna and Pfizer. I do not want to minimize them. They are potential issues. All right. I don't want to go through what they are. There's about 14 different potential issues. And if we've got it wrong, Lord help us, believe me, we're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. But here's why I tell my patients, if you're IgG positive, wait for 3 to 6 months, because in 3 months, we're going to know if there's any problems with these mRNA vaccines. It'll be obvious, all right? We're going to know in 3 months.
Into the millions, we're going to know something.
Yeah, we're going to know, all right? It's going to start being obvious that there are problems.
Right.
Well, then you can avoid it. Mm-hmm. You're IgG positive. Now, if you're, then you can wait, all right? And that's my philosophy to it. You know, there is no easy answer, but that's what I tell my patients.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Do you want to get into the amyloid cascade
hypothesis?
Why don't we take a break, and when we come back, back. We'll get into that. We'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
I have no idea why they call this the Alabama song. I guess, like Neil Young, they're trying to insult the Alabamans. This is The Doors. Jim Morrison and The Doors, their first album, called the Alabama song, in parentheses, Whiskey Bar. This was when I first got this album, that was my favorite song besides Light My Fire. And then, of course, when you start really listening to everything else is on there, yeah, I mean, I love this whole album, obviously. So the artist of the day is The Doors. The album is their first album, which has Light My Fire, which comes up next. So, Dr. Mensing, I have tried to get to this. I don't know how many times
we had a hard
now.
Time getting to it.
What is the amyloid cascade hypothesis for dementia and brain atrophy?
This is important. There was a Dr. Alzheimer's, by the way.
Dr. I knew that.
In 1907. And make a long story short, he was a pathologist guy, and he looked at the brain of people with dementia, and he saw all what we call neurofibrillar tangles and tau protein residues there. And so this was what we look what the hypothesis was, is that these are the cause of Alzheimer's disease. We don't know why and how come, but this is what caused Alzheimer's.
This is one of the things that you saw. And now, is it microscopically?
Microscopically. Or just... All right, yeah. And this, and up until the last, well, 7 years, most of the research has been focused on this, on this hypothesis. There, Alzheimer's is caused by these problems,
right?
And what are and why? All right, and we're getting nowhere. All right, that's maybe not a nice thing to say about research, but bottom line, it's not coming to fruition. Well, about 7 years, it started to come. This idea started to make, and initially it's small, and now it's sort of really gaining ground in the research world. But essentially, here's what the shift in thinking. These neurofibrillary tangles and these tau proteins, all that, are not the cause, but the result of some other cause. This change in thinking in the research world has opened up just amazing things happening.
Okay.
In that, and the key probably is this is really at this point not clinically, you know, not that much. How should I say, practical for the average person, but from the research world, this is like the doors opening to heaven kind of thing. It's just opening up so much research because now the research is focused.
So they had the right markers, but they weren't using the right hypothesis.
You hit the nail right on the head. So yeah. Really, that's why this is called the amyloid cascade hypothesis. It was really wrong.
Okay.
And I wanted to bring that up because, Terry, this is why the research is going forward so much. All right?
The research that they used to laugh at in the past is now things like vitamin D3. Why would you look at vitamin D3? It has nothing to do with anything. Yeah. You know, people who take it are health nuts, and they think it's helping them, and it's not.
So much is happening, Terry. In 10 to 15 years, medicine is going to be totally different than we know today.
Right.
It's just amazing things coming up. What are some of the new things that are happening, all right?
Okay.
What's the result of this change in hypothesis, all right? First of all, we now know that probably one of the key things is blood flow to the brain, all right? And we know that blood flow, we've talked about this before, and it has to do with hydration, all these other things, but blood flow is the key of one of the major keys of what happens to the brain, all right?
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of things I want to talk about that we now know, and we'll end the show with, that are coming out that change blood flow, and number two, change the endothelial nitric oxide vessels in the brain to damage them, all right? And first of all, toxins, all right? And, you know, everybody knows about lead, but lead is a major thing, all right? Tetanus toxins. In fact, tetanus toxins, when you get tetanus, literally fry off the brain. That's why you die, essentially, all right? Mm-hmm. It poisons the brains.
Yeah, you...
Number three is plastics, all right? And probably about 8 years ago, we realized that the plastic, alpha-butyrate plastics were screwing up, you know,
Weren't they putting those in cookies and things?
Well, no. Yes and no. There are some cases of that. But really, all food stuffs were packaged in plastics.
Oh, sure.
Let's take a soda, all right? This is classic, all right? And you put the soda in this plastic in a phosphoric acid solution that is acidic and eating away the plastic. And these butyrate particles were essentially screwing up with the body and the brain, all this kind of stuff. We outlawed those, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't realize, and this we now know today, almost all plastics have the same problem. We haven't outlawed all plastics. So I tell my patients, and I try myself, and it's easier said than done.
Right.
But I want to have as less foods and drinks in plastics. All right? And how much of an effect this will have long term, I don't know. But that's something you can do today. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right? Number four is food additives, all right? And I have this saying I tell my patients, if you can't pronounce it, it's probably not good for you. But food additives, the colorings, all these things, we have study after study showing they're bad for you, all right? Sugar substitutes, all right? All these sugar, artificial sweeteners. I refuse to let one of these pass my mouth. 10 years ago, we used to tell patients to do this, like to lose weight. All right, right. We told that a patient. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that, but you know, 10-20 years ago, that's what we told our patients.
Right.
We now know these are essentially analogs of neurotransmitters in the brain that essentially cause depression and problems with memory.
And that's all of them.
All of them.
Okay.
End of discussion. All right. That stop the sugar substitutes. I beg of you out there. All right, if you don't want to get in trouble. In fact, today, from what we know, if you had to redo the FDA approval for Splenda or any of these sugar substitutes, not one would pass. From what we know, they would not be on the market.
Neither would aspirin.
All right, but it's true. All
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The next part is infections. All right. Oh, Lyme disease is a classic mm-hmm. example, and the neurologic problems with that. There's some rare bacteria, Bordetella, Burfundi, but that's that. Herpes virus, syphilis, all right. The other thing is gut biome bacteria have been shown to cause retrograde issues up the vagus nerve into the brain. The big issue is that we have a blood-brain barrier that is now leaky, just like a leaky gut syndrome. We now know this. This is the newest technology. mm-hmm. And so you have to have your gut healthy to have your brain healthy. That's and essentially
I was just thinking the other day, you know, we've talked about the gut biome twice now. We need to do it at least one more time for people to start really incorporating it into their thinking.
Probably a good idea. But just like there's a gut-brain barrier mm-hmm. and a leaky gut syndrome, we now know that there's a leaky blood-brain barrier. Amazing.
Yeah.
We had no clue. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Okay. Well, we have to explain to people what it is, what they can do. Blueberries, handful of blueberries every day.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I had my handful this morning.
So did I. Didn't do very well when we were on vacation. I forgot to take it with me. Okay, everybody, we're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Come on, classic baby, song. Light my classic fire. Song. Try it usually ends up in the top 10 songs of all time. But
the time to hesitate is through.
Everybody has a story about light my fire. Now, the interesting story is when they went to cut it down to, because it's 7 minutes long, 8 minutes long, and during that time, if your song was more than 3 minutes, you didn't get played. And they tried to fashion something that they could play that was shorter, and they ended up just taking the middle section when it goes into the instrumental part. They just basically pulled that out. That's how they came up with it. They couldn't get a good song, so otherwise. Dr. Mensink. Hang on. Is his mic on? Okay. Yeah.
Monday, we're going to talk about something very interesting. This last week, it was published, and this is to me amazing. All right.
Okay.
30% of all people who have received the vaccine, and it skews more to the younger people, which is shocking. All right. 30% of people who have received the vaccine are going to continue to stay inside, continue to refuse to socialize, and 30%
and wear masks.
And wear masks and essentially stay this way for the rest of her life. 30%.
Can we find an island that we can put them on? Greenland's a really nice island. Can we buy that?
Well, this is fear. This is the bottom line.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely.
And bottom line, Monday, we're going to talk about the fear and all these issues and all this stuff.
Would you call it irrational fear?
Yes. We're going to talk exactly about that. And then we're going to also have one of our counselors on from Wellspring to talk about what to do about it and how to approach it.
Here's what I suggest for everybody listening that feels like you're waiting with bated breath to get back to normal life. You may know someone who needs to listen to this program on Monday at 5 o'clock.
We're going to try to make it as
I'll remind people again tomorrow.
To give you a way of how to solve it, some steps right there on the program.